Okay, so I apologize for that. Everybody should be muted, and that's fine, and we'll get started. So the system drives me nuts sometimes. I have the same problem all the time. I should just wait, I guess, till the last minute to call in. Anyway, well, I want to talk about, you know, a couple of things. One is, are the markets really reflecting the economy? It's one of the concerns that I have. I don't think the markets are reflecting the economy. I believe that the economy is definitely slowing a little bit. The markets don't seem to be. They're picking back up again. I think we are getting very close to being in a 2010 to 2016 kind of mode where the markets are being a little irrational. And unfortunately, our markets do not have the capabilities or the predictive powers that they might hear for the U.S. economy. So they are not seeing some of the global economy slowing down. They're not paying any attention to that. They're looking for a very short-term kind of gain. And that is a huge, huge problem because it instills a false sense of enthusiasm and optimism that we need to be concerned about and careful about, that we don't act too irrational. Now, I'm going to talk about two different scenarios real quick. There are two scenarios that I'm concerned about, that I'm thinking about. One is a scenario that we don't see any real possibility of President Trump losing the next presidential election. The other scenario is that we do. Now, I'm not one to pay attention to polls since every single one of them were wrong in the last election. I suspect they will be again in this presidential election. But at the same time, I am concerned about a couple of states. Those states would be Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. President Trump cannot win without Pennsylvania here, and he is polling behind considerably Joe Biden. I think that I made a comment the other day, kind of jokingly, but true at the same time, that we ought to be praying that Bernie Sanders wins the nomination, because I think his best shot is anybody almost other than President Trump. I don't believe there's enough Democrats in the country that want to go to socialism or Marxism. Let's hope not. But that's the way we're going to go if we continue to see that. The other scenario is that, of course, if he wins handily, and we believe that's going to happen, that is a very, very different case for the markets, our portfolios, and where we think they might be going. It's very different than if we just, function as if he's not, in the economy anyway, and the markets are going to be very favorable to that. But not only are they going to be favorable, they're going to be favorable in a sustainable kind of way. from all the data that I have been examining. I can't speak about everybody else's data, but all the data that I've been looking at on a regular basis, I am probably a lot more concerned about the global economy today than I was, say, a month ago. It's a very different place. Things have gotten dramatically worse. I believe unless there is some miraculous shift in China in the very, very near future, I don't know that the Eurozone, some of the countries for sure, are going to slip into recession. France probably first, followed by Italy, and soon by Germany. Germany, the largest economy, they are in a bit of a bad way too. This has got to impact our economy. I'm not going to talk about the markets for now, but it's got to impact our economy. So we've got to be concerned about these things, and I'm trying to be very prudent. There's two things I'm trying to do. One is I'm trying to add stocks on the buy list, which I've done. I've done that. I did that in 2008. In 2009, I continue to do that. Some of the stocks I'm looking to remove, I can't get them off because it doesn't make logical sense based on where they are from a number of standpoints to take them off. So I haven't been able to really cut that list down too much. I do want to speak for a second about my comments on the website about asking you to sell out of certain positions and to take those profits and to hold on to those. My goal was, and you'll remember me saying this, that I wanted to boost your cash position without making the change on our asset allocation model for you to boost your cash position. Because I see this as more of a temporary thing. When I see it more as a permanent thing, then I'll change everybody's asset allocation model. I really want you to be disciplined right now and sit tight. I don't want you to get out. I don't want you to sell anything other than those big, big profits to get out of, like you did that week. I hope you did it that week. I had that on the website. And to sell out of those positions and hold on to that cash. I don't necessarily want you to put it back to work in repurchasing anything. The way I figured, a lot of you could end up with somewhere between a 15 to 25% cash position. That is a lot more than I'd like to have, but at the same time, I think that is our protection against what could happen. That would be our protection in case President Trump doesn't win the election or the economy does turn south, impacted by the global economy. And we need to have that protection. Yes, there would be a time eventually where we would buy in and use that cash. But now is not the time, even though things are coming back up again. I think this is temporary. A lot of people got out on Christmas Eve last year. They were real happy they did until February, and then they got out. And I don't want to see a repeat of that. It was kind of a double loss scenario. It's not a good thing. The other case I want to make to you and talk to you about is energy stocks. Your energy stocks are getting clobbered. Everybody's are. Somebody called today and asked me about it. He said he wasn't nervous. I appreciated that. We need to sit tight on those energy stocks. Oil is, I don't care if oil comes down to $40. Those stocks are going to get beat up, yes. But at the same time, they will come back, and you know that if you're a long-term investor because you've seen this happen before. But I do want to say this is the perfect example of why you don't want to get overweighted in any sector. It doesn't matter how much you like it. You don't get overweighted in any sector. Obviously, I'm not talking to income investors. It's somewhat irrelevant to you because you're going to be collecting that income for a long time. Those stocks are going to come back, and I'm not too concerned about it. But everybody else, you've got to be careful that you are not overweighted in any sector. And this is a real check of your portfolio. I know that if you have a portfolio tracker, you know firsthand whether you're overweighted or not. And it's critically important. I don't care how much you love a particular sector, how much I love a particular sector, you cannot get overweighted. You've heard me talk often about IP, International Paper Stock. It is a great stock. It is also a great bellwether stock. It's a stock that gives us, rings a warning bell to a certain extent about the global slowdown. They are being impacted dramatically by this global slowdown. If you look at a chart of the stock, you know it's been impacted a little bit more than you would like if you own the stock. Is it a time to buy in? Probably should, but keep in mind you're buying in with the notion that it could be 3 years before it comes back up, but when it does, it'll come up strong. But nonetheless, it gives us a snapshot of where things are going. I want to point out one more stock to you, and I'm not able to do this on the air. I wanted to point out one more stock to you, and that's General Dynamics. It is not on my buy list today, but it's a stock that a lot of you own. And I think that the defense sector has a lot of room for mergers and acquisitions, and I think General Dynamics is a stock that's going to maybe be able to take advantage of that. So if you own it, no matter what it's doing, don't get too concerned about it. But if you own it and you want to buy some more, even if it's a little more than you purchased it at, it might not be a bad idea. So I just say that about that particular stock. IP, International Paper, good time to dollar cost average down. I would not dollar cost average down yet in those energy stocks. I think you got to hold on to those just the way they are. You'll have time to dollar cost average into them once oil hits $60 a barrel, and who knows when that's going to be. But I would look for that $60 a barrel number. And you can start thinking about dollar cost averaging in, unless I say otherwise, that's what I would want you to do. The other thing that I want to do here today is to try to emphasize how bad the geopolitical events are. Look, if we don't get trade deals soon with these other countries, we're going to be in big, big trouble. And I know this president is a strong negotiator, and that's a wonderful thing. But what he doesn't know is that he's also a politician, whether he likes it or not. And those tactics that work in the private sector don't necessarily cross over into the political world. They never have, and I don't expect they ever will. It is one of the reasons why I have never, ever been able to go into politics. I have enough problem with my business practices and mentality to fall into line in nonprofit organizations, which is a hard thing for me to do because by nature I'm a bottom line minded person and a for-profit minded person. But I think President Trump is getting very, very close to losing a few battles here. And I'm not talking about losing the war, but I am talking about losing a few battles. He needs to understand that everything he does is going to be out in the public, is going to be known, that his opponent is going to know what he's thinking before he knows what he's thinking. And that's going to be a huge problem for him and take away a lot of his strength in negotiating. So I am concerned about trade, not China. I'll tell you the truth. If we never get a China deal, it isn't going to bother me. But if we don't get a China deal, we don't get a deal with the Eurozone, we don't get a deal solidified with Canada and Mexico, we don't get a deal with Japan, now I'm worried. And I'm worried, significantly worried. So my biggest concern right now from geopolitical trade events is strictly the United States of America and what we are not doing. Not what we are doing, but what we are not doing. And what we're not doing is negotiating with Germany. We're not negotiating with France. We're not negotiating with any Switzerland, for instance. We're not developing good, fair trade deals with any of the European nations. And that's a problem. And you can't get a straight answer out of politicians. They all say, oh, yeah, you know, we can do more than one thing at a time. No, they can't. So it's a problem. So that is my concern right now, and I think it's going to impact the markets, and it could impact them in dramatic fashion. If you are retired and you are not in an income portfolio, you might want to contemplate becoming a little bit more income-minded. If you are retired and you are an income portfolio, you don't have anything to worry about. Don't worry about, because income is only going to get better with some of the good, solid companies over time. So I am, as I did this week, I added a few more stocks in blue that are on the list. So that's a good thing for income investors. If you are under 50, you've got nothing to worry about, because all your retirement is going to be fine, and it's going to be good regardless of what happens. So let me make a case for that, and this is for everybody. If you have a very long time term time horizon, we have 50% less stocks. Isn't it funny? I'm hearing everybody talk about this now. You know, if you've been a partner for any length of time, I talked about it 2 years ago to all of you. But now everybody's talking about it. And, you know, let me just say, your greatest advantage of being a partner is I'm working hard. I don't want to sound in any way kind of, you know, arrogant about this. I'm not. I understand where everything that I've called or do comes from the Lord. I know that. But I've been ahead of the curve so much on so many things. Not all of them have been able to impact your portfolio, either negatively or positively, but so ahead of the curve. And I know better than to think I'm smart, but I know better than to stop relying for one moment on our Lord. So, you know, this is another call that I made and I talked about. There's 50% less stock today than there was in 1998. We've got a generation coming up called the X generation that is supposed to be the largest and greatest workforce over the next 20 years. This generation is going to create an enormous amount of draw on products, and they're going to be working for companies that are going to have 401ks. That means a significantly higher demand on stocks. I mentioned the global economy and the slowdown. That is creating a significantly higher demand for U.S. stocks, U.S. bonds, U.S. dollars. That is creating that demand. That is going to continue as well. When you add these two things together, we need to keep in mind we've got a supply that's 50% smaller than it was 20 years ago. So what does that mean? We've got no supply and lots of demand. I don't care what happens in the economy. The markets have to go up, and your stocks and your portfolio have to go up. They will surely, from momentum of no supply and lots of demand. That supply is not changing. I will submit to you and make a prediction that in the next 2 years, the next 24 months are going to be a all-time record of mergers and acquisitions. So every time that happens, it takes one company out of the market. Sometimes it can take two companies out of the market because they could go private. So I don't see any increase in the supply of publicly traded companies. It's not going to change. And so the demand, as more workers start coming back into the economy, is going to increase over the next 20 years in dramatic fashion. So your portfolios, I'm not concerned about. It is critically important that we hold good things. The stuff that you have are very good things. None of you, maybe some of you, but I would suspect that the vast majority of you have not even noticed how many stocks I've taken off my broad list. And I want to tell you, I've taken 48 stocks off my broad list. You don't even know it. Now, a lot of those were stocks that hadn't been on my buy list in a very long time. And based on their debt ratios and their size of company, they weren't likely to be on my buy list. I took them off. I would suspect that there's going to be another 40 stocks that are going to come off my buy list between now and the end of this year. I am digging very deep into stocks that have debt. It's going to be my biggest concern. My biggest problem is going to be for all of you. It is going to mean that all of you are going to have a smaller supply to choose from. So you're going to have to be very prudent. And I suspect that your diversification from the standpoint of a sector is probably going to get lower. We'll just let that happen as it happens organically. But what you do own is going to be the strongest stuff that I can find that's out there. And that's what's important. So that is the big difference that I want to express to you. We've got to be extremely quality conscious right now, which I am trying to do, be as quality conscious as I possibly can, and look at the debt. We are so in debt. Now, I'm not talking about America. I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about corporate America. I'm talking about leverage in companies is at all-time record high right now. And if we have a severe downturn in the market, to give you an example, Bernie Sanders gets elected, we're toast. So we got to have good stuff. We got to have good quality things. I am going to ask all of you to trust me to warn you. It's an awesome responsibility and I don't like it. I got to be honest with you. It's enough to make me want out because it's scary. I know I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. God doesn't want me to do that. But, you know, you're just going to have to trust that you're going to hold good things. And that's going to be the key to us moving forward. And it is going to be difficult. I want you to stay focused on taking profits. I don't want any of that to change. I say you get a profit over 15%, you might want to consider taking it. And maybe you take the profits, maybe you sell totally out of the position and move out of it. I'm going to ask you to unwaveringly stand fast on my alerts. When I send you an alert, please listen. Please do what you say. I'm not going to beg you to open my alerts. I'm not going to beg you to heed my alerts. But I am going to ask you, would you please open them and try to take action if you can? If it's something that is not urgent that I am informing you about, maybe it's something that I think it might be wise to sell, but I'm not going to say it's an absolute, then you don't have to do it. Somebody emailed me this morning about the healthcare stock that I had on my list to sell a little bit ago and buy it back at a certain price, which I want to tell you all not to do that. And it just wait, because I think it's probably going to go below 13, as I put in my commentary section. You can see that on the commentary section of the website. But please listen to the alerts. Please take heed. Look, we may miss out on some things. We may miss out on a little bit of gain, but I don't care about the gain. I care about protecting what you have. So please do me a favor. If you are not a long-term investor, please don't be investing right now. Please. You can do it if you want, but don't dare call me and say, well, I just got in yesterday and I needed the money now. I mean, last year, and I need the money now, and, you know, I got to get out. You can call me and tell me if you want, but yeah, there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm asking you, if you're not a long-term investor, then then you shouldn't be in the markets right now. And long term is not 2 years. That's what Wall Street thinks it is. It's 8 years, 10 years. It's not 2 years. So it may be long to you, but it's not long term. If you're 2 years, then you're a trader, you're not an investor. And we wanna be investors. So we've got to be very, very conscious about that. I want you to understand what lies ahead in the economy. I don't know exactly what lies ahead, but I do know this. America is not an island. We are not a totally independent country. President Trump might want us to be that. He might think that's where we are, but we're not. And we're not going to be. And as the Eurozone goes, as other parts of the world go, as China goes and everything else, we're going to be in, we're going to go along with them. They are going to follow our lead. And the only way we keep any sustainability in this economy, and I've said this before, and I despise every second of it, but we got to have a Republican-controlled Senate, House, and White House. And we've got to have that for the next 6 years. We know we've already lost the House, but we've got to get it back, and we've got to move ahead. Every day I'm getting emails from people, well, I'm not voting for Trump because that's fine. Move to another country then because you don't care a lick about America. You can say you do, but you don't. And don't dare say you care about the country that you're going to leave for your children or grandchildren, because you don't care about that either. So I understand. I don't like everything this president has done. I don't like how he says certain things. There's a lot I don't like. But I do believe that he's God's appointed person. Maybe he's God's appointed person to take us into bankruptcy. I don't know. But I'm going to assume he's God's appointed person to lead this country. And I think that we have got to, beyond a shadow of a doubt, look at the alternatives that we could be voting for. And you need to understand that if you don't vote at all, you're voting for them. You're voting for them. And you need to help this country by being a warrior about that. And about, telling everybody you can meet that if you don't vote, you're voting for socialism, communism, Marxism, whatever. That's what you're voting for. So we have got to vote. There are certain differences that we're going to have to lay aside. We have to take an understanding, a real understanding, that all through history, God has used unrighteous people for his righteous purpose. And we need to understand that. And we need to think that this is one of those times, maybe, that that is the case. I'm not calling anybody unrighteous. I'm just saying, if that's what you think, then you need to also think that God has used the unrighteous. Jesus witnessed that with Pilate. The Father using the unrighteous for his righteousness. We've got to remember that. We've got to understand that. And that's going to be our incentive to vote for America, to vote for the Supreme Court, to vote for America. It's critically important. And there was a case that the Supreme Court didn't acknowledge and wouldn't hear, and said that they're going to let the lower courts rule, and that's it. I wonder, it was a case filed to remove In God We Trust from our money. Do you think had Hillary Clinton passed the last two justices, put them through, that the Supreme Court wouldn't have voted on it? I don't think so. That's just a tiny, tiny example. So let's stay solid. We've got a global slowdown going on. If you're long-term, please stay in. Remember, you've got the advantage of no stocks and a lot of money. That money's got to go somewhere, and it's going to go in those stocks that are available. Those prices are going to go up. They may be going down right now. That's fine. Remember that China doesn't have time to retrofit everything. Either, you know, oil or not gas is going to be driving the economy for a very long period of time. We'll get our money back in those oil stocks. Hang on to them, sit tight. There will be a time the dollar cost average up. Sell and take your profits. Sell and take your profits. Pay attention to our alert system and what I'm asking you to do. Try to be vigilant about checking on the website. You know, I talked to a guy about a particular stock I had on the sell list. He obviously never saw it. And, you know, at that point in time, or he saw it and didn't pay attention to it. And it doesn't help not to pay attention and then call me and ask me what I think you ought to do. Well, I already gave you what I thought you should do, and that was to sell it. If you didn't sell it, I don't really have an answer for you because I haven't thought about it since I said to sell it. I can do my best, but I don't have a real good answer for you. The other thing, and I'm going to just finish with this, I want to thank all of you for your support to the ministry. It's been a tough, this is going to be a difficult summer. If we get through this summer unscathed, it's going to be really, really a difficult thing. I don't imagine that's going to happen. I'm feeling like we may have to cut back and we may have to, make some cuts to some things that we're going to do. We're probably going to cut back some more stations and things like that. So, it is what it is. I understand it. I'm following the Lord's lead on that, and we're just, operate based on where He wants us to operate and what His people continue to provide for us. So I'm going to continue with or without this ministry. I'll continue to do my work. That I've always done, because that's what I love doing and that's what I'll continue to do. But we want to have this big an impact. And I'll just say something. Everybody has said so many nice things over the years, but particularly over the last month. And the best thing you can do is tell somebody not about me, but tell somebody about the ministry and what has happened. I'm getting clobber with emails from people that say, I need to be in the administration. I hear it from people like Mike Huckabee. I hear it, from other people that it's not, I'm not going to do that. But if you want me in front of the administration to talk, then you guys got to make it happen. It's not up to me. You write the letters. You write the White House. You tell them. I believe that God's going to continue to give me the insight that He has allowed me to have, that He has granted me to have. I'm not sure. I hope it's because I'm staying obedient. And I get the opportunity to share that with you. As God sees fit for me to share it with somebody else to be a part of what's going on, that I'll do it. You know, I was asked to be on a big Christian television network. Fairly big Christian television network. And I was pretty excited about it because we're going to be able to reach so many people. But you know what they told me? Well, we're not really, we really kind of want to, we don't want you to change your values. We don't want you to change the way you do things. But we need you. We're asking all our hosts to, not be preaching and not talking about God and not say things that would be offensive to somebody that may be listening for the conservative content. And I just said, well, I'm not interested in doing that. That's not something I want to do. And, they called me back and said, well, we really think this is going to be the best thing for you. It'll be good for your ministry. It'll be good for you personally. And I said, I don't care if it's good for me, God will have me do it. And that's not something He's laid on my heart. But that's where we're getting to, folks. That's what's happening. Everything is getting watered down and watered down, even things that I never thought would. The church and other things. And I hope God's plan is to keep us here and keep us growing something that is not going to get watered down. I had a meeting with the staff yesterday, and I said, guys, we're never going to go down this road. You need to understand that. If that doesn't fit within your realm of what you want to be in, then you need to leave, you know, but we're not changing. So it was about a particular show primarily, but it was a general meeting as well. I said, we can't, we're not going to go down there. We're not going to go down there. So, and I said, why would we anyway? Because that's where everybody's going. We're here, I believe, to be set apart from all that. Not to be a part of it, to be set apart from it. And that's what we're going to stick to. So keep praying for us. Keep praying for the ministry. Keep praying. Pray for me. I've never said that directly before, but we are under some attack, and it is amazing. And sometimes I feel very naive because I don't understand it. But nonetheless, I am blessed because it is happening. So we must be getting on being a problem for the darkness of this world. So that's a good thing. So we'll keep doing what we're doing. Folks, please stay strong, stay steady, stay on track with your portfolio. I am concerned. I haven't said it on the air. I don't want to panic everybody, but we got a global problem right now in this economy. And I am very, very concerned about what I am seeing, particularly in the foreign banking system, is very scary. And I'll tell you, if we have a problem, our banks, it's very scary. Stay small, stay with the small, solid banks that don't have a lot of debt, the credit unions. That's where you want to be. But look, we've got some issues. You know, I think about all the time, if I'd have kept my trust company, I could have turned it to a bank very easily, and people would have had a bank that they could depend on that's not going to have debt and it's not going to get in trouble. But they're few and far between. And we need to just continue to bless the Lord and his work and all that he's doing. Man, if you got a church with a pastor that's standing firm, make sure you're giving to that church. I don't care how bad things get, but they're the kinds of churches that we got to keep the doors open on. That is for certain. I sure appreciate you, and I am probably going to recap a couple of things. I thought I was going to have some things that didn't happen. It's another thing that is scaring me. Everything is being delayed. Everything. I have never seen it like this. I remember in previous recessions, 2008 was probably one of the worst, but the same thing in 2000, the dot-com crash, that everything slowed dramatically. The data points that I need, people's financial statements, meaning businesses, their financials that I'm dependent upon. Globally, around the world, everything has slowed down dramatically. And I shouldn't make a plan to do something because oftentimes they just don't come through anymore. I'll probably get it this week, some of the things I'm waiting for. So if it's important, I'll throw a recording conference call line on the website. So I don't want to speak about it. I don't want to get anybody overly optimistic, and I don't want to scare anybody, but we'll watch that. Oh, I have one other thing I want to say. If you're in the semiconductor space and you're thinking about taking, you know, the not just technologies, but the semiconductors in particular, the MUs, the AMDs and those kinds of things, I know they're doing well. I really feel good about MU. I feel like that's going to have great, great potential for the future. If I'm a long-term buyer, I'm buying that. But when you get, if you get a considerable amount of profits, there's going to be a lot of mergers and acquisitions in that space. There's too many people doing the same thing. And so we're going to watch that very closely. The same with the pharmaceuticals. We had three pharmaceuticals go bankrupt last week. Another one, I think yesterday, they filed. So I have to tell you, I like it. because they were so responsible for this opioid crisis that we're suffering from. So I don't know what Johnson & Johnson is going to do. They're in big, big trouble. They have major, major cost that they're going to have. So anyway, there is a lot, after all that, to be optimistic about. There really is. Listen, we have the potential for everything to turn on a dime. Tomorrow, listen, we could have a China deal next week. We'd have a China deal next week, and we could have our Commerce Department saying, hey, we got to deal with Germany. We got to deal with Europe. I'm telling you, if that happens, look out, because it's going to be a rocket ship. The other thing that that's going to do is not only be good for the markets, it's going to take away the uncertainty of what's going to happen with the presidency. But I got to tell you something. If you listen to any of those people that were talking about their talking points in Iowa on Sunday, you might as well be guaranteed that your taxes are going to almost be not worth working. It's not going to be that bad, because our payroll taxes, our income tax are going to be out of control. So we had better hope that all of those young people that are the socialist communists are getting voted out next time, and we can get a Republican-controlled House. That'll help us a lot, if nothing else. All right, I sure appreciate all of you. I thank you for what you do for this ministry. It is a blessing, and we're going to keep working as hard as God, as long as God will keep his hand upon us and allow us to do it. We've got a lot of work to do, so much work to do. I've got plenty of energy. I may not sound it right now. I'm working on an hour back-to-back and one-hour sleep nights. So I don't sound it right now, but we do have a lot to be optimistic about. We really, really do. But we've got to be praying. We've got to be praying hard for this president and this country. So let's get on our knees every night, every morning in my case, and when I'm doing my devotions and my study time. So we've got to be praying fervently for this country, not for us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for the young people graduating high school that love the Lord and are enthused about America still. So we've got a lot to pray for, that is for certain. So I might be dancing in the streets next week with all of you, as things could really turn around quickly, and I hope that's the case. But please, you have learned, stay. Don't get too concerned. And the best thing I can tell you is stop reading. Forget all the blogs, forget all the garbage that you read. Just stop doing it. Just rely on the Lord in your prayer and financial issues. Don't worry about anything else. And you'll be more relaxed and far better off for it. Let me do it. I'll worry about that stuff. You just hang in there. Stay firm on your portfolio. Keep working. Stay healthy. Stay strong in the Lord. Let's be unwavering and committed in all that we are doing. Thank you so much. I sure appreciate your time. We probably will do this again soon. Have a great day. God bless. And we'll talk to you soon.